It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Since taking office, President Trump has proposed massive changes to the U.S. Postal Service, moves which could disrupt mail service in Wisconsin and beyond.
He's called for a, quote, form of a merger between the Postal Service and the Commerce Department. A major reorganization or privatizing the Postal Service could result in the biggest changes to USPS since it became independent more than 50 years ago.
Later this month, the National Association of Letter Carriers will hold nearly 200 rallies across the country and in Wisconsin to protest against any moves to restructure USPS. Don Annan is a letter carrier and president of the Wisconsin State Association of Letter Carriers Union. Don, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Morning. Thank you for having me.
And we also have Russell Berman with us, staff writer at The Atlantic. His recent piece is called What Happens If Trump Comes for the Mail? Russell, thanks for joining us.
Great to be with you.
Russell, let's start with you. You've talked with lawmakers and union officials. You've talked with advocates for the Postal Service from both political parties about privatizing USPS. What did they tell you about efforts to merge with the Commerce Department?
Well, I have yet to find anyone who thinks this would be a good idea, that this would improve mail service. You know, to the contrary, almost all of them expressed concerns that it would worsen the trends that we've seen over the past decade or two, where cutbacks in service have hit disproportionately rural areas and rural districts the most. And part of that is that the Commerce Department, it's a government agency, but it's not one of the biggest ones. It's, according to the people that I've talked to, just not equipped to handle the enormity of what the U.S. Postal Service is. The Postal Service delivers nearly half of the entire world's mail, and its network dwarfs that of, private carriers like FedEx and U.S. and UPS. So it would be a huge change, and according to the people that I've talked to, not one for the better.
You also heard that this potentially could be a step toward privatization. Why would a postal service that's under the umbrella of a Commerce Department be different or move toward privatization?
Well, basically, it would be under the thumb of President Trump and potentially Elon Musk and the Department of Government Efficiency. And so, it could be subject to cuts. And two, just being instead of being the independent agency with its own board of governors that it's been since a reorganization that you alluded to in 1970, by making it just another cabinet department, it would give the president and the executive branch more authority to potentially sell off or privatize parts of it. It would just make it easier because it would subject it more directly to presidential control. And Trump has made no secret of his hostility toward the Postal Service. He called it a joke during his first term, and he's really never stopped musing about how it could be shaken up or, as he's acknowledged, privatized.
Don, let's turn to you and your thoughts on this independent agency. Why should people be concerned in this moment if the Postal Service would become part of the Commerce Department?
Well, if it became part of the Commerce Department, it would sharply reduce all the service to rural America. That's including 51.5 million addresses where private carriers do not deliver. You know, every day, over 200,000 letter carriers deliver 360 million pieces of mail. That's nearly 169 million delivery points, supporting a $1.92 trillion mailing industry. And I'm sure that's why, they're very interested in trying to privatize the post office. They'd have to eliminate the Board of Governors, and they have oversight, and that would be they would need an act of Congress to do that. The post office has been a service for over 250 years, and they hit every location in all 50 states and all U.S. territories. And it's older, really, than the whole country itself. if you try to privatize this company, it would have 640,000 postal jobs would be lost, including over 73,000 veterans. This only not only would be illegal, but this is unconstitutional.
You alluded to this before, but what could happen to last mile postal delivery, which USPS plays such a big role in, this final delivery point to someone's door, regardless of their location?
Yeah, they wouldn't have that. You know, if you look at postal service in other countries that don't have the last mile, or they don't have the postal service that delivers to the rural community, they'll have to go, you know, hours to these postal hubs or mailbox centers to try to get their mail. Think about all the elderly and the medicine that we deliver. You know, that would be impossible for some people to even actually get the services that they need.
We're talking about how the U.S. Postal Service could face substantial changes in this Trump administration and the potential impact here in Wisconsin. And we have Don Annan with us, letter carrier and president of the Wisconsin State Association of Letter Carriers. Russell Berman is here, staff writer for The Atlantic. Russell, what financial challenges has the Postal Service been up against in recent years?
Well, there's obviously been a huge shift from, you know, people no longer, and for many decades, of course, have not been sending letters. They've been using email and going to online billing. That's had a huge impact on the Postal Service. And of course, they've been at the same time, they've been ordering more packages. And so a bigger part of the Postal Service's business is package delivery, as opposed to simple mail and letters and Christmas cards and the like. And so adjusting to that shift in the economy, as well as facing more competition from private carriers, you know, has had an impact on the Postal Service, and they've also faced other challenges. In 2006, Congress passed a bill that required the Postal Service to prepay billions of dollars every year into their healthcare pension program. And that basically contributed to the fact that the Postal Service went through many years of losses. It was just very difficult to make a profit when you combine the challenges in the industry and the economy, including the, you know, the financial crisis in 2008, the pandemic in 2020, with these this requirement that they spend or pay billions of dollars that they really didn't have. And so that's resulted in cutbacks. The Postmaster General, Louis DeJoy, who was controversial when President Trump, when his appointees on the Board of Governors appointed him as Postmaster General in 2020. He's had this 10-year plan delivering for America. And a few years in, it really, you know, the reviews have not been very good, because there have been continuing complaints about rural service and you know, just a decline in how the Postal Service operates.
And now DeJoy has announced his plans to step down as Postmaster General. What impact do you think could his departure have in this moment when USPS is in flux?
Well, you're right. It's a very uncertain moment. You know, some people are happy about it, including some Republicans. Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri took DeJoy to task in December at a congressional hearing, basically saying he's lost patience with him. Some Democrats have never warmed up to him. And so, you know, without Trump's intervention, if he does nothing, the Postal Service Board of Governors will choose the next Postmaster General. But there is this cloud hanging over, which is what might Trump try to do via executive order, which would spur a whole another round of court challenges. You know, and so there's just a lot of uncertainty there.
Don, another development here is this suggestion from the Commerce Secretary that America's mail carriers should help conduct the 2030 census. Your thoughts there?
That's really silly, because anybody that actually knows anything about delivering the mail knows that the letter carriers do not have time to go knocking on doors for census. You know, Russell talked about the change in the pandemic. You know, after COVID, the parcel delivery has quadrupled from what it used to be. I've been delivering mail excuse me, for over 34 years. And when I first started, the letter mail was just almost unattainable to carry. You'd have to split up relays because you'd have so many much letter. And now it's all packages. And the fact that everybody in the country now has changed to getting every single thing that you once had to go to the store to deliver, now it's in packages that we deliver. We have no time during the day to go knock on doors and be a census taker. We'd be out there for 24 hours a day.
And Russell, there was a Government Accountability Office report from 2011 that said it wouldn't be cost effective. Has anything changed?
It's unlikely. I mean, it's unclear how serious this idea is. I mean, the new Commerce Secretary, Howard Lutnick, has talked about it as if it's, an idea that just popped into their heads and it's like, oh, maybe this would work, as opposed to an idea that's been, again, which has been studied, but it's unclear if they've read any of these studies or if they just think, it sounds like it might work. Let's try it.
Don, the National Association of Letter Carriers, local branches holding nearly 200 rallies on March 23rd. What do you hope to accomplish through these events?
Well, we want to bring our message to the public and to the people in Wisconsin and across the nation to say, hey, we want the post office to stay as it is. We're fighting to keep over 640,000 postal jobs. We want to uphold the universal service of delivering mail, city and rural wide, because our customers depend on this. We want to protect one of the nation's most loved public agency. Whenever you do any polls, the post office is considered and ranked one of the most trusted government agencies, because we're bipartisan.
And Donna, we're going to leave it there. Thank you both for joining us, Don Annan, letter carrier and president of the Wisconsin State Association of Letter Carriers, Russell Berman, staff writer at The Atlantic, who's been writing about this.